Amen. Luke chapter 24, starting our reading in verse 1. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Has everyone got it in their Bible? If you've got it, say amen. And if you don't, say wait on. There's a few. Praise God. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through to 12. I guess this is a portion of scripture that we normally read around Easter time. But the death of Jesus and the cross is always relevant to us every single day. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Everyone say very early. In the morning they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stole rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. They get there. We're going to find out who these ladies are in a moment. But they get there at the sepulchre. First of all, they're shocked that the stone has been rolled away. They take a look inside the tomb and Jesus' body's not there. And just to top off the shock, two angelic messengers, two men stood by with shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, these angelic messengers said unto these women, why seek ye the living among the dead? What are you doing? Seeking the living among the dead. He is not here, but he's risen. Can you remember what that he said he was going to rise again? Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day he will rise again. And then they remembered his words. That's right. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. Everyone say Joanna. And Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. They couldn't believe it, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and he ran to the sepulchre. Peter had to see it for himself. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Peter didn't. He was amazed. What is this that I've just seen? I want to turn your attention to, I think, eight words in verse 5, and phrased as a question from these two angelic messengers. They said to these ladies at the tomb, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, we know they were there. But the angel said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Very interesting situation, because here in this account, we see heaven asking earth a question. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? And when I see heaven asking earth a question, I wonder in myself, how can earth provide an answer to a heavenly question? In fact, to go a little bit further, is it really for us to enlighten heaven by even providing an answer to such a question? But heaven is asking earth a question. You know, God knows everything. Some people say, well, if God knows everything, why do we pray? But you see, when we pray as a demonstration of our faith. We pray, we show God that we are fully reliant on Him. But this question was so important then, that these angelic messages from heaven asked these ladies at the tomb, why do you seek the living among the dead? It was an important question then, and it's still an important question now. And so I want to preach from this title, why do you seek the living among the dead? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we pray, Lord, that your word would speak. Let it come forth anointed, Let it pierce our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear, Lord, what you're going to say to the church and what you're going to say to us as individuals. Lord, whether we be Christians for a long time or whether we're in church for the first time today, Lord God, let your words speak to every hearer in this place. And Lord, help us to leave this place, not just having heard, but committed to being a doer of the word. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? When you read a portion of scripture like this, to be able to preach and to expound on such a critical portion of scripture, it is so important that you are able, I guess the people that are into literature would tell you this, that you're able to submerse yourself in the text. To be able to submerse yourself into the text and to be able to think about the atmosphere, to think about the emotions of those that were in the story and what they must have been feeling. Can you imagine the atmosphere on that day as they went to the tomb and they found the stone rolled away and they looked in the tomb and they couldn't find Jesus' body because it was a distraught atmosphere. It would have been a stressful scenario. There would have been anguish as they realized that the stone had been rolled away. The thoughts would have been going through their mind. Maybe somebody had stolen the body. Think about how they felt, these women, who had given their whole lives to follow a Messiah, who had given their whole lives to follow a king. And they had the hope that this king and this Messiah would somehow deliver them or liberate them from the dominance and the oppression of the Roman Empire at that time. All of their hopes was in Jesus. All of their hope. They saw miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. They put their lives, they put their careers, they put their families on hold, all in hope that they would get back their land from Roman dominance. And there's Jesus, their king. Jesus, their Messiah, snatched away in their mind. There he is as he hung on the cross, humiliated, humiliated in the face of his followers, humiliated as they hung him to a tree, humiliated and embarrassed as they stripped him of his clothing. And there they stood as they watched him die on the cross. Their king was dead. All their hopes, as they thought, as they saw, were shattered. All hope had died for them. Jesus' crucifixion on the cross was basically as low as anybody could go. Especially the way that he got there, on trumped up charges, on lies. They got him there on the cross and crucified him. Peter was cursing. Judas had hung himself. The rest of the apostles are hiding behind closed doors, afraid for their lives because here they are, they're killing Christians. They killed Jesus. And somebody asked Peter, "Do you know him?" And Peter says, "I don't know him. I don't know who he is." He denied him three times. Can you imagine the atmosphere there at the tomb? Let me tell you today, if it did end with the stone rolled in front of the tomb, we would have no hope. If it did end as Jesus hung on the cross, then we would have no hope. But I'm here to tell you the good news today, that it didn't end when they rolled that stone in front of the tomb. It didn't end when they pierced his side on the cross and blood poured out of him. It didn't end then because, yes, Jesus died. Yes, he was buried. But yes, he rose again. And I'm here to tell you today that he lives and we can still seek him. We serve a risen God. He heard our prayers today. We have worshipped him as worship has gone up. He has heard the worship. It has been as incense unto him. And so now it's morning time in our text. Jesus has died. He's been buried in that tomb. And three women make a journey down to the tomb. We read of the three women. There were possibly more there, but there was Mary Magdalene. There was Mary, the mother of James. And there was Joanna. Three women who had great testimonies. They went to the tomb. Mary Magdalene, some say Mary the Magdalene, because Mary Magdalene was from a place called Magdala. Some believe that she was a prostitute. I don't know exactly. We don't know that. But they say because Magdala was known for prostitution, that it was an indication that maybe this woman had engaged in such a career. We don't know. We do know, though, that verse 7 in Luke chapter 7 tells us that Mary Magdalene was a sinner. It says in Luke 7 that a woman in the city which was a sinner brought an alabaster box of ointment and she washed Jesus' feet. We know something else about Mary Magdalene because in Luke chapter 8 it tells us that she was described as one from whom seven demons had gone out. So number one, she was a sinner. Number two, she had a wonderful testimony that God had delivered her from demons. She was oppressed before by demonic influence, but she had been delivered from this demonic influence. And only Jesus could deliver her. Only Jesus could set her free. And so once Jesus set Mary Magdalene free, she didn't get delivered and then say, okay, well, I got my deliverance and just walk away from Jesus. No. And some of us, maybe God has done something in your life. Maybe you've got a testimony. Let me tell you, don't just get your blessing. Don't just get your answer to prayer and then just walk away from God. Mary Magdalene, God forgave her of her sin. She was delivered from this demonic oppression. What did she do? She didn't walk away. The Bible says she started following Jesus. And some of us are here today because Jesus has done something in our life. Some of us have been walking with Jesus all this time because God has done something in our life. How can we forget what He's done for us? And that was Mary Magdalene's testimony. As she was delivered from that demonic oppression. And she said, what else can I do but to follow Him, to walk in His ways? And there are people here today that have been walking with God 40 years. And they're here today because God did something in their life. Whenever they feel like giving up, they sing that song. How can I forget what He's done for me? Where He's brought me from? And so Mary Magdalene was one of the three women at the tomb that day. And she had a wonderful testimony. She is following Jesus because what Jesus has done in her life. But there was another Mary. It was Mary, the mother of James. Now, this isn't the James, which the book of James is written there. But this is Mark chapter 15, verse 40, calls this man James the lesser James. Not only had Mary, the mother of James, given of her service, but Mary, the mother of James, had also allowed her son and given her son to the service of Jesus. And her son is following Jesus. She sees her son's life changed. She follows Jesus. All three follow Jesus with different motivations, but they all had gratitude. Everyone say gratitude. Then there's this lady called Joanna. We don't know much about Joanna. She's mentioned there. Maybe today's the first time you've ever seen the name Joanna. But there was a lady named Joanna. Joanna's husband was a man named Chuza, however you like to say it. But Chuza was an important man. He served under King Herod. And this Joanna, she was a faithful follower of Jesus. The reason she followed Jesus, some people say, I wonder why Joanna was following Jesus. Many theologians believe that it was her son that was healed in John 4. That it was her son that was at the point of death. When Jesus healed her son, that because Jesus healed her child, she didn't just say, thank you, Jesus, and walk away. But she, like Mary Magdalene, also followed Jesus. And so we have these three women who were grateful for what God had done in their life. They were grateful for what God had done in their children. And they didn't just say, thank you, but they devoted their life to follow Jesus. I want to stop and just talk about gratefulness right now. I want to talk about gratitude. Because when we have gratitude, if we can have a heart of gratitude, if we can have gratitude in this place, nobody needs to be encouraged to worship. And nobody has to be encouraged to praise God. Because if we walk in here with gratitude, it's going to be an automatic overflow of gratefulness. We're going to sing, we're going to praise, we're going to worship. Why? Because we're grateful for what God has done. Gratitude is so important. You can see people, they will sit there with their arms all folded, a big scowl on their face. Let me tell you, they're not grateful.
Because how can you forget what God has done for you? It's going to be an overflow of gratefulness. So gratitude is so important. If we can have grateful people, we don't need to teach on worship. Because worship is just an overflow of a grateful heart. People don't need to be encouraged to give or to serve because they're grateful. People don't need to be encouraged to witness because they're grateful. You see, the old song says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. And so I pray today, I know God has done wonderful things in your life, but don't forget. Don't lay it away and walk away from Jesus and say, thank you for healing me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for saving my children. Say, no, I'm grateful. I'm going to follow Jesus. And there's something about when Jesus does something for your children. There's something special when you see Jesus do a work in your children. I know Brother David Kent is here, and he's a minister, been a minister for a long time. But what brought him to the Lord was when he saw one of his children who was being devastated by nightmares. The church prayed, and she stopped having nightmares. That was the turning point for Brother David Kent right there. God answered prayer. He didn't just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, and just keep going on with his life. No, he said, thank you, Jesus, and he started following Jesus. And so gratefulness. Three women were grateful for what Jesus had done, and they didn't just say thank you. They followed Jesus. There's something else we know about these women is that they were obviously wealthy because they even helped Jesus fund his ministry. These women would go ahead of Jesus and they would make sure that he was taken care of. They would go into the villages or the cities where Jesus was going to go and they would prepare the way. Go there and say, was there somewhere where he can sleep? Has somebody got taken care of his food? The Bible says that these, according to Luke, women who Jesus had healed in turn provided for him out of their resources. They provided for Jesus. Women of God going before Jesus, preparing the way, providing out of their resources, maybe their wealth, giving and providing and making a way for Jesus' ministry. And so, can you imagine the situation now as they go to the tomb? First of all, they had seen Jesus die on the cross. But now they see an empty tomb. Here they are, so faithful to him, following him every step of the way. This text opens up and it tells us that they got up early in the morning. This is the last chance, they're thinking. This is the last chance that we will ever have to give our Savior anything. They got up early. They took the frankincense. They took the myrrh. And what astounds me is even though Jesus is dead in the tomb, so they thought, they are still taking care of Jesus. Can you imagine the impact that he's had on their life as they wake up early? The Bible doesn't just say early. It says very early. And they're going down there to minister to him once more, even though he is dead, to prepare his body. There the body is decomposing. And what are they doing? They're taking care of Jesus. They're on their way down the streets of Jerusalem very early in the morning to take care of Jesus. Faithful followers of Jesus, using their time, their talent, and their treasure to serve him. And when they get there, the stone has been rolled away. And two angels step up to them. And it says, doesn't say much about what they were wearing, but it says they had shining garments. They walk up to these ladies, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joanna. They walk up to them in these shining garments and the angel speaks. And here it is, heaven speaking to earth. And heaven asks earth a question. And as I said before, it's a question for them and it's a question for us. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And I believe as God has been speaking to someone in this service, more than just one person, heaven is still asking a question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? This question that these angels ask creates an opportunity for us today, listen carefully, to direct our attention to where we are looking, to direct our attention to where our lives are headed. What are we seeking after? What are we striving for? It gives us an opportunity to direct our attention to a possible flaw in our thinking, to get our lives back on track, to get our priorities back in the right order. The question is, why do you seek the living among the dead? And so the angels ask that question and they say, what you are looking for is not here anymore. He is risen. Those angels say, what you're looking for has moved on. He's risen. He's no longer here. You're looking too low. Can you remember he told you that he would rise again? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And that's the question that burdens me today. Because as a pastor, I see so many people spending their lives looking for living things among dead things, trying to find life amongst death, trying to find fulfillment in the things of this world, trying to find satisfaction in things that are just going to pass away, trying to find something alive among things that are dead. I see people giving their life, their energy, everything they've got, giving it all for temporary things. Giving all of their energy to their jobs. And yes, we need a job. And giving all their energy just to look nice and have big muscles and you know, all these sort of things. Giving all their energy to things that are temporary. And giving just a little energy to things that are eternal. Seeking living things. Seeking life amongst dead things. And sometimes the best picture I can give in my mind of what preaching is like standing on the edge of a cliff. And as you see people going towards this abyss and going before destruction, standing there, waving your hands, saying, no, 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 you're going the wrong way. Turn back. You're not going to find any hope down there. All you're going to find is destruction. All you're going to find is hopelessness. You're not going to find anything there. And the old song, I think it was written by U2, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. That is the anthem of this world as they try this and they try that and they try this and they try this relationship. They get their promotion. If I get a little bit more money, if I can just be a little bit more popular, if I could just be a little bit more healthy, and they try everything and they've been everywhere, they've had everything. If I could just go on another holiday, well, maybe that holiday to Cairns wasn't good enough. Maybe I need to go to the Maldives. Oh, well, the Maldives aren't good enough. Let's try Fiji. And they can say, after that, yeah, they have a good time for a little while, but they still haven't found what they're looking for. I'm here to tell you today that you only find what you're looking for when you find Jesus. You will not find life among dead things. You will not find eternal satisfaction amongst dead things. I'm come to tell you, if you're looking among dead things, you're looking too low. He's risen. We serve a risen Savior. You will not find life among the dead things. And so I ask you today, why would we waste this one chance we have at life pursuing things that will not last? You know, the only things that will last into eternity, there's only two things. Only what you do for Christ will last. But the only thing you can take into eternity, have you ever thought about that? Everyone says, you're not going to take nothing into eternity. Yeah, you will take something into eternity. The only thing you can take into eternity, other than yourself, is a lost soul that you reached out to. You can take them to eternity. Can you see what's important in life? Can you see what our priorities should be? And maybe we're sitting here today and we're realizing, you know what, my priorities have been, you know, I'm always in church, but in my mind and the things that I'm pursuing, you know, I find myself chasing the dollar. I find myself just trying to find another party or worldly pleasures, all just temporal stuff. In these last days, why would anybody waste their time on dead things? Why seek ye the living among the dead? In John chapter 4, you can turn there. I'm not necessarily going to read, but you can have a look at the text here. It's about this woman of Samaria. She sits at the well. And Jesus goes there, and he sparks up a lively conversation with this woman at the well.
And there's some insightful dialogue happening here as he asks her, he says, can you get me a drink of water? See, she was talking about physical water that never completely satisfies. And Jesus was pointing out to her that you've got physical water in that well. It's temporal. It will take away the thirst for just a moment. But the water that I will give you will completely satisfy you. You see, I've come to tell you today that there are no earthly solutions for spiritual problems. There are no earthly solutions. Jesus is still the answer. And John chapter 4 and verse 14, Jesus said, whoever drinks of me, whoever drinks of Jesus will never thirst. I've come to tell you, let's pursue Jesus like we've never pursued him before. Let's get our priorities back in order. We can't find the living among the dead. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says this, therefore leaving the principles. Some of us, we're still at the elementary levels of our walk with God. Leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Not abandon, but to move on. God wants to take us to another level in our walk with him. You see, they went to that tomb. They were looking too low. They remembered Jesus being crucified. They knew that he'd been put in that tomb. But now he has moved on. He says, can't you remember? I told you that I would die. Yes, I would be buried. But hey, I'm going to rise again. And the Bible calls us that we are to rise again with him. There is more for us than just an empty tomb. There is more for us than just a stone. There is more to us than just a Savior on the cross. He is risen. And so we ask and think about the situation. Immerse yourself in the story again and say to yourself, if Jesus wasn't at the tomb, why were the angels there? There was no body to guard. He's gone. He's risen. Why were the angels at the tomb? After all, there is no body anymore. Let me tell you why I believe the angels were at the tomb. Because God knew that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joanna, and whoever else was there, God knew that they needed to hear those words. God knew that you needed to be in church today to hear these words. God knew that you need to hear the words that you cannot find living things among dead things. You cannot find true life amongst the things of this world. You cannot find true satisfaction outside of Jesus Christ. And so the angels are there and say, why do you keep coming back to this place of pain? You cannot plan your future while you keep hanging around a tomb. You can't move on in your relationship with God while you keep going back to the dead things. He is risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Paul said it like this, forget these things, those things which are behind. Reach forward to the things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. I want to tell somebody today that God wants to do a work in your life. We've got to stop seeking life amongst dead things. Yes, you need to go to school. Yes, but school's not more important than Jesus. Yes, you need to have a job, but your job's not more important than your relationship with Jesus. Just get your priorities in order. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, verse 33. Let's say it together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek who first? The kingdom of God. Seek Jesus first. Seek his kingdom first. Yes, of course, we need things. We all need things. We all need stuff. But it's a matter of priorities. Put Jesus at the top of the pile. Seek him, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll take care of the rest. You cannot find living things amongst dead things. You cannot find life amongst death. So God wants us to grow. God hasn't finished with us. God continues. Doesn't matter where you are, he continues to call you out and he seeks to bring you in. Wherever you are today, I tell you, God has more for you. Wherever you are today, God wants you to grow more in your relationship with him. Wherever you are today, God wants your faith to grow.
Think about people who went to another level. Think about Abraham, one of the greatest men in history, Patriarch Abraham. He was called to go to another level when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. God called him out of the familiar and he called him into the promised land. He called him into a promise of a higher level, a place of blessing, a place of abundance. God called him. Abraham responded and God took him to another level. Is God calling you today? What will be your response? We think about Ruth, the Moabite, the heathen Moabite. God was calling her. She didn't settle for the boundaries of her native land. When she said to Naomi, she said, Naomi, I'm coming with you. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. And there is Ruth, a Moabite, a heathen. She goes to another level. When she declares that she is not going to stay in Moab, she's going to go with Naomi. And Ruth becomes part of the lineage of Jesus Christ because of a choice that she made, that she wasn't going to be happy just to stay in the comfort of her native country. But God was calling her to another level. And God is calling somebody here to another level in their walk with Jesus. These three women, they're going there to do what they thought was right. Kind of freshening up something that was already dead. I've come to tell you, don't focus on the past. Don't freshen it up. Don't go back and let your mind get back in that pit again. Don't focus on it's time to go to another level. Jesus is risen. You will not find life amongst dead things. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 and 2 says this. If you then be risen with Christ, what? Seek those things which are above. See, he is risen. We are risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not things on earth. You will not find life amongst dead things. You will not find eternal life while you keep filling your life with temporal things. You cannot find life while you're standing at the door of a tomb. And these angels are there for one express reason, to remind these ladies and to remind us that Jesus, didn't Jesus say he was going to rise again? Didn't he say that he wasn't going to be in this tomb? And the Bible says in verse 8, and then they remembered. What were we doing? When we knew that he said he would rise again, what were we doing looking for life amongst dead things? And it's so like us. Even the most faithful Christian, if we get distracted by the things of this world, if we listen to the voices of this world, if we listen to the ways of this world, we start to think in our mind that somehow we can find satisfaction in just a little bit more money. Somehow, if we can just get that job promotion, that we can find some satisfaction. If somehow we can just, have that relationship, that somehow we would find satisfaction. But all of those things in this world, they are all just temporary. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. And somebody say amen. And so let this be your question today. Why seek ye the living among the dead? These ladies, they loved him. They served him. But under pressure. Everybody say pressure. Anybody ever been under pressure? This world's full of pressure. Even Christians experience pressure. They loved him. They served him. They followed him. But under pressure, they forgot what he said. And sometimes we can forget what he says. We can even forget the word of God that we heard here this morning by the time we get to the car. So busy about the work of the Lord that they had forgotten the Lord of the work. They left the house to go to a tomb. They left the house speaking death and they're going home when they realize that he's not there. They go home speaking life. You see, what you thought was going to stink, it's not going to be there. There will be no stink there. Why? Because he is risen. You will not find life amongst dead things. Very simple message today. Here's the heart of the matter. Why do we seek life in things that only lead to death? Alcohol. Oh, it gives us a buzz. Makes us feel like we're alive. You won't find life amongst dead things. Drugs. Oh, it adjusts my mind. I feel calm and I can see things clearly. Let me tell you, it's all just false. You will not find life with drugs. Wrong relationships, yes. We think that if we could just find the right relationship, what ends up happening is we end up getting in the wrong relationship. You won't find life amongst dead things. Why do we look for hope in places of despair? There is no hope in this world. Set your affection. Everyone say my affection. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Why do you seek the living among the dead? If the musicians could come. So often, such a simple message today, but such a powerful reminder. Heaven is asking earth a question today. Heaven is asking us who are in this place today a question. Because if we're truthful, we get distracted. We take our eyes off things that are important. We take our eyes off Jesus. We take our eyes off the words of God that we already know in our hearts. Under pressure, we forget what is important. And I've come to remind everybody here today of what is important. Set your affection on things above. Seek first the kingdom of God. Get into a right relationship with Jesus. He is the only thing that can satisfy your heart. Why do you seek the living among the dead? And so heaven asked those three ladies a question. And heaven asked us a question. Where are you setting your affection today? Where are you setting your gaze? Wednesday night we learned it's important where you look at. A Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and where did he end up? In Sodom. What are your priorities today? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Looking into things to satisfy your soul, but they are just dead things. Things that will pass away. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, the question that burdens me today is that so many times we get distracted and start looking off and all this other stuff, whereas Jesus is the only one that can satisfy. Why would we be wasting our time in these last days? Why would we be wasting our one chance at life chasing dead things, hanging around dead things? Let's all stand in this place today. I believe God is speaking to somebody today. Don't feel condemned, because condemnation is not of God. Sometimes we come to church and the word of God comes forth. We realize just how much we've missed the mark. Anybody ever miss the mark when it comes with their Christian walk? Yeah, anybody? Yeah, anybody going to be honest? Yeah, we miss the mark so often. But when the word of God comes forth, it's not to say give up, no. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Two words. Condemnation is the devil. The devil says, you missed the mark. Give up. Stop faking it. You can't make it. But conviction is different. And maybe God has been convicting and pricking someone's heart today to change their priorities. Conviction says, you can change. You can be better. You can make a difference. And as the word of God has been preached today, God's mercy is reaching out to somebody's heart. God's grace is reaching out to someone's heart and saying, stop looking for living things amongst dead things. Only true satisfaction will come in Jesus. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Now is the time to take what God has spoken to us, to search our hearts,
to apply this word to our lives. Lord, we acknowledge, oh God, that we fall short. Lord God, distracted. Our priorities become all out of order. Oh God, under pressure, even, Lord, like those ladies at the tomb, oh God, we forget the words that you have already spoken, that you would rise again. We find ourselves going back to a tomb, going back to freshen up something that was dead. But Lord God, you're no longer there. You're alive. And so, Lord Jesus, we feel challenged by your word today. Lord, to turn our eyes back to you, to set our affection on things above, not on things of this world. Oh God, to love you and to serve you with our life, just as these three ladies did, not just to say thank you and walk away, but to say thank you, Lord, and to follow you the rest of our life. We love you, Jesus. Is there anybody here today that wants to come reconsecrate their life to Jesus? Maybe you're here today, you've never ever kind of even taken a step to giving your life to Jesus. But maybe you're that person that's here today and God has spoken to you through the worship songs. God has spoken to you through the tongue and interpretation that came forth. God has spoken once more through the preaching of the word. And maybe you're not even a churchgoer. You believe in God maybe, but you're not one to go about church. But you can know in your heart that you've searched everywhere and you haven't found what you're looking for. I tell you that Jesus is here right now. Why don't you step to this altar and bow your knee and begin that journey with him to repent of your sins, to say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I have looked everywhere. I've tried everything. I'm sorry for the mistakes. I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I'm sorry, Lord, for the times that I have denied you. I'm sorry, Lord, for all the times, Lord God, that I have sinned and tried to do things in my own way. Maybe that's you today, until you can have a new beginning. Because we don't serve a dead God. He is risen. And we also can rise in this place today with him. Hallelujah, we love you, Jesus. Oh, turn.